At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Midlife Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of midlife. Today, we have a guest speaker, Melissa Carey, who we'll talk to in a few minutes. But before we get started, we're going to do some introductions. I'm Mary Ann.
I'm Leslie Ann.
And I'm Carmen.
And this is Melissa.
Hi.
Melissa, we're so glad you're here with us tonight. I've known you for many years. I've seen some of your journey for sure over the last little over 20 years. But what brings you here today is we want to just discuss with you what you've done in midlife. You made quite a pivot and you've done something that I find very inspiring. So if we could start maybe a little bit about yourself and what brought you to this point and how you're living your life now.
Yeah, you know, like most women, we're in a journey and we are moving along to different phases. And I started out as a lobbyist working on Capitol Hill, working for the U.S. Senate and for members of Congress on presidential campaigns. And then I got married. And then my husband said that one of us needed to be home. And he said it wasn't going to be him. And I looked and I thought, wait, my math's not real good. But guess I'm going to be home with the kids. And it turned out to be a lot of fun. And I really enjoyed it. But it was very hard. When you marry somebody, you're making a huge commitment. And when you have children with that person, you're making an enormous commitment. But when you give up your livelihood and you don't have an income coming in, that's a huge commitment. And I was really worried that I was going to be bored and frustrated, wiping peanut butter and jelly from the walls after having a really cool White House environment working place as a lobbyist. So it was tough, but I have to tell you, I loved it. It was an unbelievable gift to be home with the kids. Very fulfilling. I got to do a lot of cool things I normally would never have done. And then when the kids got old enough to have me go back to school, surprise, we had another baby. So, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. And then as he got to be older, I realized that I wanted to be intentional about what empty nest was going to look like. I didn't want to just be reactive to, you know, so many times you just say yes to stuff after, you know, when they ask you. And I wanted to be really intentional to make sure that I knew this is an amazing opportunity that we have to like reformulate, to repackage. You know, motherhood is a weird thing. It's like the only job where you're trying to get a pink slip. You know, the better job you do, the less you're needed. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure that I was really intentional about what the next stage of my life was going to look like. So I planned out this thing that had been on my heart for a while, and it's just been exceeded my expectation, my wildest dreams. I had no idea it was going to blow up like this.
So you started a business.
Yes.
And you had a passion about something, and there wasn't a lot out on the market, and you decided, you know what? I think I'm going to do this thing. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
When I was a little girl, they had these little things called advent calendars, and they were sparkly and beautiful with little angels on them. But you open them up and they were so disappointing because it was either a stale chocolate or else it was like a Bible verse that you were like, what is this? And I really wanted something so much more. So I saw a need, something that was not on the market, something that really needed to be promoted. And so I created this product and I brought it to market. And it's been overwhelming, the response from people.
You know, it's interesting because you talk about being intentional in, you know, the emptiness phase. And you had this idea that you felt you had time to work on. I can relate to the intentional part of it because I've been through the emptiness phase and had lots of plans and ideas, but I have not yet been able to put them into full practice. It's something we talked about in an earlier episode that I really want to write a book someday, and I just haven't done it. So what gave you the focus to actually take the idea and say, now is the time and I'm going to do it? How did you like get yourself going?
I wanted something like this so much, and I'm the cheapest person in the world. I mean, I make Silas Marner look like a spendthrift. I am so cheap. You know, embarrassing, actually, how cheap I am. And I was at Safeway one day, and there was a 90% off Christmas tchotchkes table. And I saw this little wooden box, and it had 25 little flaps, and it had pink and green Santas painted on it and stale peppermint drops. And I thought, wow, this could be so much more. This could be amazing. What if they were drawers instead of flaps? What if there was a figure in each drawer? What would you put in each of those drawers? What if there was a booklet that went with it? What if there was a website? What if? And I thought this could be amazing. And so I started putting it together, playing with it, you know, figuring out, writing the book, you know, fitting it all together. And I kind of had to have it on hold for a couple of years because we still had a child at home. Mm-hmm. And this was the challenge child, the one that needed a lot of attention. And so I needed to pull back a little bit. So I got my ducks in the row. And then as he was getting ready to be launched and to go off to school, I realized, okay, this is the time. I can pull this forward.
I can't even imagine, like, that's a lot. To take something to the market, to do the design, to first do the design and do all that. But did you have this gut feeling? Did you just know it was going to be something? Yeah. You just knew.
This is so selfish. I just wanted one for me. And then, you know, I had grandchildren and I wanted one for them.
Right.
But this is just something that's not out there that should be out there. And it was really important to me to bring it to market. My faith is really important to me. And I just wanted to share the joy and love of what it feels like to have a relationship with a higher being.
Right.
And I wanted people to be able to experience that. And so I put this together too, because I'm sorry, like, you know, when you're a kid and you're, you know, I love being able to unwrap the nativity scene, but, like, you know, I knew there was something more than Mary, Joseph, and a camel to this whole Christmas story.
Right.
But it was this big black book with gold brims, and I didn't know where to look in there. I was a kid. And so I broke it down very, very simplistically. I scoured the Torah and the New Testament to make sure that every word is 100% accurate.
Right.
And I scoured those books to make sure that I knew exactly what was in it and was able to pull it all together. The Old Testament prophecies, New Testament teachings, historical information from
right.
Josephus Flavius, the Roman historian, from Tacitus, from, you know, I wanted to make sure this was 100% accurate.
Go ahead.
I have a question for you because I started my career on Capitol Hill and then I went to business school and did something completely different. Those are two very different things. Like policy and legislation and lobbying are very different from business. How did you do that? Because that's a big deal.
That's really interesting because actually I think lobbying and doing what I'm doing are very similar because lobbying is kind of like a cross between being a kindergarten teacher and a salesperson. Because you literally have to know your facts so well, and you have to be able to boil down a 2,000-page piece of legislation into a conversation that you can have in an elevator with somebody in 45 seconds. So it's distracting huge amounts of information into an understandable, approachable spiel. So and you're selling it because you believe in it. And if you're a good lobbyist, you lobby for something you have a passion for. Mm-hmm. And so in the same way, this is something I have a passion for. So there are some similarities.
How did you do? Okay, this is the part Marianne sent us, like the draft. And I was like, okay, so she has to get this manufactured in China. I want to hear about that because that sounds like a whole ball of wax.
And then there's another country that comes in to play.
Yeah, we want to hear about that too.
that almost did me in.
Before we get started on that, let me ask you a question, just going back a little bit and talking about your passion. You also have a lot of self-confidence. And I see you as confident because I've known you. What other characteristics or what is it about you that just knew it was going to work? And like Leslie Ann was like, what was the motivation? I mean, what was it?
Well, Marianne, I'm glad I've got you fooled because I'm not a confident person at all. You know, I see my flaws. I think I'm a mess.
We all do, right? We see ourselves differently.
I'm a big, hot, smoking mess, you know, and so goodness
I don't see that.
But I think that, you know, I'm definitely with projects that I become enamored with. I'm like a dog with my teeth in the neck of whatever poor animal I have struggling with. And that poor little thing doesn't have a chance because my teeth are not letting go. And, you know, I'm up all night. I can't stop. I have this idea, that idea, this idea, that idea. And you just keep running with it.
I know that you don't give up. And that kind of goes back to Carmen's question about China. And she overheard you talk a little bit about Russia.
Yeah. Well, the Russia thing, I'll get to the China in a minute. The Russia thing happened last year. And, you know, you had asked earlier about different impediments that had almost dislodged me on this journey. And the big one was last year. We were up in New York visiting our daughter. And all of a sudden, my phone started blowing up. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. It was Halloween weekend. And I thought, wow, I'm so excited. People are getting excited about Advent already. And wow, I'm getting all these sales. Can't wait to get home and fulfill them. This is great. But suddenly there were tens of thousands of orders and they were fraudulent.
Oh.
And what happens is the Russian mafia and other Eastern European organized crime send out bots to small business websites, and they're able to infiltrate the website, and they use information that they have stolen of credit card numbers and names, but they don't have full information. They have partial information. So that's why sometimes you'll get a phone call and they'll say, oh, I'm calling, and they have your name and your phone number, and I just need to confirm the last, before we talk to you, before this legal action is going to be taken, we need to check your last six numbers. And if you say, oh, yes, that's me, they're like, score.
Yes.
Because now they have another piece of the information that they can sell down the food chain for a higher price.
Unbelievable.
Because they need the credit card number, they need the expiration date, they need the name, they need the phone number, they need the last digits, and then they've stolen your identity. So what they did is they put a bot onto my website, onto my purchasing page, because I have an e-commerce platform. And so they went in and spent, you know, tens of thousands of different attempts to purchase stuff. And it didn't matter because it was only, you know, my replacement parts, which were a couple of bucks. And it didn't matter because I wasn't fulfilling them, so I wasn't out then. But unfortunately, the Eastern European banks charged me $15 for each fraudulent attempt. So I was out quite a bit of money. And that was very disheartening. But, you know, I'm not going to let them win.
I think that's an interesting thing to me, because I think if you're anything like me, right, it's hard enough for me to figure out the technology that's going on in the world. But to take on running a business that's dependent on the technology and then have that happen, I think that would fail many people. So what made you push through?
Well, Leslie, and there is a reason 80% of all small businesses fail in the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I'm a one-woman shop. I do fulfillment. I created the product. I wrote the book. I figured out the printing. I did the graphics. I did the design. I got the trademark. I put up a website. You know, things that I had never, ever done before. And that was an extraordinary opportunity to learn some really cool new skills. Mm-hmm. But it's also scary. And I was on a shoestring budget because, you know, I had paid a lot of money to get the products manufactured. And I was trying to cut corners, and I did not hire a web designer. And I did end up hiring a web designer. But then I realized you really need to have some safeguards in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been unbelievably fortunate that sometimes even before I know to ask, people have stepped into my life that have helped me in the exact situation that I needed. So I feel very grateful for that.
So will you tell us how you figured out the manufacturing?
Okay, this is kind of a crazy story. But as I said, I am a person of very strong faith, and I have a very close relationship with God. And I just felt really called that they needed to be made in China. And I was like, I don't speak Chinese. I don't know anybody in China, and I'm kind of a Buy American girl. You know, what the what? I don't want to have it made in China. But I felt this very strong feeling that I needed to have it made in China. And I've come to kind of understand why. And it's kind of like Brer Rabbit in the Briar Patch. You know, Christianity is not allowed in China. Bibles are not allowed in China. The Word of God is not allowed in China. And here I have all of these people in the factory hand painting these little figures, hand painting the inside of the cabinet, reading the words, translating the words, putting the books together. Shh, don't tell China. So that was kind of cool.
Okay. And I know that while you were I think it was at the beginning of the manufacturing. I just remember maybe having coffee with you one day and you, something bad had happened, a hurricane, and a weather event had happened, and you were supposed to have a shipment and then you weren't. So I do know a little bit of the bumps. You can talk about that, but I find it just really encouraging for all of us that are thinking, what are we going to do in our next chapter? Maybe it will be some type of business. You never allowed any of those things to stop it or impede what your dream was. So tell us a little bit about the other bumps in the road, I guess you would say. It's interesting.
The immortal words of my dad, Russ Cogshaw, life's not fair. And stuff happens. Yeah. And if you say stuff hasn't happened to you in your life, liar, liar, pants on fire. True. We all got shit.
Yeah.
I mean, we all are carrying around all kinds of crud and stuff happens. And you need to determine, is this going to determine what my destiny is going to be? Are these hurdles and these roadblocks going to stop me from doing what I want to do? Or am I going to just plow through, put my head down and plow through and fake it till you make it?
Did you ever have a moment, though, where you thought, okay, like I've gotten through, I had this career and then I raised my family and now I'm a little bit older. I have more time for myself. Why am I doing this? Or was it always just, I'm going to do this because I believe in it?
That is a really, really good question. And I kind of feel like, you know, we have been given, I have been given health. I have been given a family. I have been given food on the table. And it is my responsibility to share what I have with other people.
Your gifts.
And, you know, that's, you know, we are so blessed in this country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I, you know, whether it's community work, which has been a large part of the time that I was home with the kids. And this was just something I really wanted to do and felt called to do. You know, that's, it's, frankly, I think I would probably like slip my wrist if I had to like play golf or mahjong all day. I mean, I love games. I'm a game person. So I really like playing games. So I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, but I need to have something. And then also too, Leslie Ann, the stories that I know, oops, I'm sorry, I'm banging the table. Also, Leslie Ann, the stories that have come out of this Christmas cabinet have been so overwhelming to me that is the fuel that has kept my fire going when I get frustrated or when Russia decides to attack my website or, you know, when I get a no or when I get turned down from something. I'd love to share one story, but I also want to, you can't stop. You know, a couple of years ago, doors were slammed in my face on so many different things. And in particular, one venue where I really wanted to have it in their gift shop. And, you know, it's the Basilica. I'm not Catholic, but I knew that this product would be amazing. And the Shrine of the Immaculate Conception Basilica in D.C., you know, we're just like, no interest. Absolutely no interest. Guess where it's displayed now? Not only in the gift shop, but also in the bookstore and also in their vitrine, in their display window. So, you know, you just can't take no for an answer if it's something you believe in. But there was, I wanted to just share with you the reason that I do this. I'm such a nerd. The first time that I had a sale on my Etsy store, first Etsy sale, somebody who I didn't know who they were, I was so excited. I was like, wow, because like if I look on Etsy for my shop, I can't find it because it's like number 5,332 in advent calendars. And I was so excited that this woman had found it. And so I sent her an email. Thank you so much for ordering a Christmas cabinet. It means so much to me. You know, I hope you really enjoy it. And oh, la, 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 la. I get an email back from her a week later saying, I just want to thank you so much. This is so beautiful. It is a piece of art. It exceeds my expectations. I can't believe the quality. It was the first thing that I saw when I got home from the hospital after losing my twin sons in utero. Wow. It is the only thing that is giving me hope to know that I will once again find joy at Christmas. Wow. Done.
So you inspired and they inspired you. It seems like the stories keep coming in for you.
And I have story after story after story. That is, you know, and if this whole thing was for that one lady, I'm done.
It's really,
but it's not, because I get to keep it for myself and my grandchildren.
Right.
And I have one.
And they have one. Well, I was about to say, I just bought the Lind ones at the Harris Teeter for my children, and I did not know about the Christmas cabinet.
Oh,
I think
you need to see it.
Mine.
It's
beautiful. I got to see this.
It's beautiful. We'll have it on our website, or we'll have a link where people can look you up at the Christmas cabinet.
Well, and they're my, you know, these are not my words. These are the words of God. And
right.
So I do not, you know, I don't take a salary. You know, I am doing this out of love. And I do all the fulfillment myself. I mean, I schlep the boxes, grandma with the 90-pound boxes. That is, I do it all. I am chief bottle watcher and, you know, CEO.
So I have a question about that.
Yeah.
So when we started this podcast, which is sort of our passion,
project too.
We, Marianne and I talked about this a while ago, but it just seemed to be an idea. It was an idea that Marianne originally had and was running on sort of her own. And then we sort of talked about it and realized it required a team. And what it really required was a woman team. You know, women work great in community. So I'm just curious, did you ever think about like bringing friends in to help you with this and creating a community together to work on it?
My friends have been so unbelievably, amazingly awesome. I can't even tell you how wonderful, whether it's a friend who's gone with me in her pickup truck and the two of us have been, you know, carrying these 90-pound boxes to, you know, parties in my garage of stuffing frankincense into bags or putting labels on shopping bags and, you know, building boxes. And everybody has been so unbelievably generous with their time and their love. And my goal is that, you know, I now have enough money to pay an accountant because I really don't want to go to jail. I don't want
nobody wants to tangle with the IRS.
You need to do those taxes.
Yeah. So I've hired an accountant and then I hired my web guy and I have to pay my storage unit people. But my next goal is next year, I think I have found a house in Atlanta that a group of autistic kids that do fulfillment.
Oh, so that cool. Would be wonderful.
So, and this is, you know, I mean, this isn't just, this is, I want every level of this to be intentional, not just the end product of what this is, but the business strategy. You know, in the Christian faith, there's a concept called tithing, where you give 10% of your profits. Well, I actually have made some profits, but I haven't made like profits enough that I can like buy more and still have a profit. So my profits all went back into buying another round of them. But I reverse tithe. So I tithe on what I have not made yet. I give away these, and besides, these aren't products, they're my children. So for each child that I place in a home, I give one away.
I didn't know that.
Can afford it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Christmas cabinet?
Mm-mm.
It's like, it is a cabinet. With the story, everything. It's a great.
It's a wooden box.
Yes.
It's an heirloom quality wooden
box.
It is. And it comes in like a beautiful storage box that's very sturdy. And you open the doors. And in the same way, like you're opening up the doors into Narnia, it's like opening up the doors of your heart to let this message of love come in.
I think it's so interesting. She found her niche and went for
it.
Like we always, you always talk about these people that are successful in promoting a product, and they went into the minute, like the little thing that wasn't available or wasn't there, that they had enough passion to really make it something.
What's interesting to me though is it's not just about, I agree with you, I always say you need one good idea and then you can really be set, but your motivation, if I'm hearing you right, isn't the money.
No,
it's one good idea to get deeper fulfillment, which I think is maybe something that becomes more meaningful when we get a little bit older. We don't really worry so much about the money. We're really worried about making our lives matter.
You nailed it. And it's, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with making money. Making money is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what this is about.
It's not your purpose.
Mm-hmm. This is joy. This is to share joy with other people.
You touched on this a little bit, but I'd love to hear more about this. I am, 2.5 months empty nest? And it's a big transition.
Yikes.
So tell me a little bit about what that transition was like for you. I mean, it's partly the business, but like, especially because you had not had an outside career for some period of time.
20 plus.
Yeah. Years. So tell me a little bit about what that was like and then how the business fit into that.
Well, I think you just, as I said, you really need to be intentional. You need to think like not just after they've gone, but like 2 or 3 years before they're heading down the track and their needs change and your needs change. and your relationship, if you're married, changes, and, you know, a lot of things, your body changes.
Oh, girl.
There's a lot going on there. And you need to really sit down and think, what brings me joy? And not just rolling my shirts in a cylinder and putting them in the drawer. I'm not that I'm knocking Marie Kondo. Is that her name?
Kondo. Mm-hmm. You got it, Marie Kondo.
Yeah, I'm not knocking that. But you need to find out what brings you joy. And I really thought about the things that I love and what my skill set are. And it's interesting, creating this Christmas cabinet literally brought together every one of my passions and every one of my gifts. I love art history. I love cutting and pasting and stapling and coloring. I love the stories in the Bible. I love history. I love storytelling. So all of these things culminated into being able to produce this product.
That's really cool.
It is neat. Anybody else? Any other questions? Oh, I want to know what your advice would be for women that might have an idea how they can kind of tease that out. You talked a little bit about it, like you just went for it. But as far as like finding out what might be there or not be there, like that assessment, kind of on the front end of a business plan. We did talk earlier and you said you didn't have a business plan. Therefore, that is why you end up with Russia. But I'm just kidding there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I am like curious about that myself. So you have an idea. I have a couple ideas. I know all of us have some ideas.
You have lots of ideas.
But how you kind of did that initial assessment. I know you went into Safeway and they didn't have much, but for women that might be looking for something else, whether there's beauty, travel, I mean, how do you find a friend? Do you do brainstorming with people?
Leslie Ann brought something up that is absolutely essential. You need to have a sounding board. You know, you need to have friends. You need to have people that are willing to talk to you. And it's astonishing how generous people are with their time and their expertise. If you have a passion about something and you have a dream, It is amazing. And especially living in an area like we live in where there's so many opportunities, So many people have really cool jobs and they know, got a friend of a friend who's got a friend who's got a friend. And you can find somebody who knows an expert on anything in this town. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to talk to your friends, to get them to come alongside with you and encourage you, and to really just explore what the options are out there. And we are so gifted with the internet.
That's true.
Learn how to, yeah. I mean, YouTube, you can learn how to do University. You can learn how to do anything on YouTube University. Whether it was, you know, for me getting a patent or a trademark, or for learning printing font sizes and paperweights. And I just, my booklet was just translated into Spanish.
So it was basically brainstorming with friends and family.
Yep.
And I know that the factory in China actually was a friend of a friend through a church. And So you did meet people that helped you along the way.
Oh, it's been unbelievable. I've been able to put this thing together on such a shoestring budget. It's been crazy.
And I would imagine that it also takes a good marital relationship, right? I mean, you're probably spending a lot of time on this, and your husband is, I'm assuming, very supportive. And I think that's kind of an important piece too for those.
Absolutely. And also too, when I had my to-do list, my little mini business plan, when I had my to-do list, I always, number one at the top of the to-do list was, don't let my husband know that I'm doing this. And it wasn't because I was hiding it from him or being deceptive. I didn't want it to disrupt the balance of the house. Mm. I wanted the house to be on an even keel and for him not to see the feet paddling under the water. I worked hard, but I made sure that I didn't do it as a sacrifice to time with him or time with the family. And so my very first item on my to-do list was make sure that Mac doesn't know, it isn't affected by the busy, busy, busy.
Right.
And my second to-do item was finish strong with my youngest and help him graduate from high school and go to college. And those were my two primary goals. And then the rest came. And when I articulated that my family comes first, I think that really helped the process.
I think that's really important, actually, because I know I said a minute ago, like I sort of had an intentionality about also about empty nesting. It was a little bit different because I didn't have one great idea. Hopefully someday I'll get one, but so far nothing. But my husband and I sat down and we said a year before my daughter went off to college, like, we're going to be empty nesters. What is that going to look like? What are we going to do together? And what are we going to do separately? And the separate part for me was very easy because of photography. So I do a lot of travel for photography and stuff. But it's that sort of intentionality to both preserve the unit of our marriage and us as a couple and finding new things to do because we were no longer going to sports games or doing things with the kids. We needed a new focus. And then we needed separate focuses. So it's kind of interesting only because we're sort of re-going through that again because we're about to retire. And that's another pivot moment where you have to sort of think about it. So that's why I asked the question. I just think that's it's beautiful. Interesting
there's
that
a
you
lot
were
of
able
pe-
to do all this.
And it's not only preserving the relationship, it's helping the relationship grow.
Right, to go to the next stage together.
Yeah. So I have a question. After your son graduated from high school, and I definitely want to put the family first, but I'm also very excited that I get to do what I want instead of always having to put them at the top of the list. How do you feel about that?
Oh, my, are you kidding me? You know, I was a full-time lobbyist, worked on the Hill, crazy job, you know, had the nanny situation, raising the kids, then home with the kids, wiping peanut butter off the table, volunteering for this kind of stuff, and, you know, doing da-da-da, and now it's my turn.
Yeah.
And I am really enjoying it. It is really cool to be able to just follow your dream.
That's what we're all doing here. Yeah. When y'all were talking about intention and thinking what you're going to do, honestly, I'm thinking, okay, what am I not going to do? That's what my intention is. Like, I can't do all of this.
And my husband's like, you're not home again for dinner tonight because I was gone last night. I was like, no. I was like, I'll see you later. I'll see you tomorrow night.
It is a great time in midlife. And I never really liked the word midlife. I don't know why. I think because people hook it to crisis, which drives me crazy. And that's why I trademarked the word midsters. I was like, there's got to be some upbeat version of midlife, but I'm enjoying, you're going to love it, Carmen. I liked how both of you talked about being intentional independently, but also with your husband and your family.
Yeah, me
and
too.
I think that's important. And that brings the balance that helps all of it thrive. And you've done that. And that probably has been a big piece why your business is so successful, because you have that balance in your life.
I'm really grateful to have had the chance to do this. I literally pinch myself. I can't believe I get to do this.
Do you have a next step in mind?
I have global domination as my next step.
I asked her, is there going to be an Easter egg that opens up? I don't know.
I already have the Easter egg. I've already done that. I have actually a wonderful young man who lives in an orphanage in Malawi who has just completed some beautiful sketches of my figures. And I'm going to do a coloring book.
So
that'll be for next year. It's just been translated into Spanish. I have dreams for Korean and a few other languages as well. I have so many things. You know, my real goal, and it's funny too, for me, you know, if somebody stole this, people would say, oh, well, if you're sending it to China, aren't you worried they're going to steal the idea? I was like, man, they steal the idea. My job is done. They're doing it for me because that's what I want, is to get this product out there.
People to know
the
story.
And so for me, you know, my greatest goal is to relieve myself of the business end of this and do what I do best, and that's storytelling. You know, speaking, I do a lot of different speaking engagements, and that's what gives me joy. So I'd like to move into that and move away from the business end of it, but I got a lot of work before me. I can get that.
You've done a great job, though. Melissa, thanks so much for being here. It has been a great conversation. You can find more about the Christmas Cabinet on the website, and we hope you join us again. It's American Midsters, MIDSTERS.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks.
Thanks.